Bob Bertugs has been joining us the last couple of months. Wednesdays about this time to answer your lawn and landscaping questions. And here we go again. Bob, thanks for giving us a little bit of your time.
Thanks for having me, John. How are you?
Pretty good. I guess the heat and the humidity has been stressing plants as well as people, huh?
It has. And so let's address your first, the point you made before the commercial about time of day to water. Your idea of watering at the evening into the night is the worst time of day to water. Let's start with
thank you.
The best time to water is early morning, just before sunup. That way when the sun comes out, it dries up any of the dew that's left on the grass. If you do water at night, you're opening yourself up for susceptible to a lot of diseases, especially when the nighttime temperatures are in the mid-70s like they were last night.
Yeah, but I mean, but here's the strategy on that. If you do it at night, it doesn't all evaporate off. It gets a chance to soak in down to the roots.
Yeah, you're just harboring an area, an environment for fungi to just colonize. And then if you do it in the early morning, it's the same theory. It is going to get down deeper and stuff. And then you're not going to evaporate much more than what the little bit of dew that's on the surface, which you want to dry out anyway.
Oh, really? You don't want the moisture on the surface, huh?
Correct.
That's funny because you see people sometimes and we'll go out and water the plants or the lawn and we'll just kind of hit it with the hose a little bit and get some water on top, thinking that's a nice drink for it. At least it's cooling it off a little bit. Are you telling me there's no value in that?
Well, there is. If you are a golfer or you're on a golf course, you'll see oftentimes during the day they're spraying the greens, and that's called syringing, and that actually does cool the temperature of the greens so they don't burn out. But you are losing a lot of water during the day to evaporation. Every circumstance is different. Like if you have brand new sod, you're going to be watering that, but you're going to be losing a lot of water to evaporation, but you have to water it during the day, otherwise it'll just bake.
Yeah.
So rule of thumb is, though, for established turf, water just before sunup.
Just before sunup. So get out there at 6 a.m., turn on your sprinkler.
Or get a timer and turn it, or an automatic sprinkler system and turn it on, come on at 3 or 4.
You have a sprinkler you like? I don't suppose that matters, as long as the water gets there, huh?
Yes. It depends how big of an area you want to cover. There's a million different sprinklers out there for different applications.
Is there any formula for how much water, like, I don't know how I would measure the amount of water I'm putting down anyway, but how do I know I've got enough on there?
A rule of thumb is an inch to an inch and a half a week, and usually what I tell people to do, you can go get a rain gauge if you want, or
yeah.
just put out a pie tin,
and
because those are about an inch,
wow.
An inch in depth, yeah. And then give it enough water to fill up that pie.
So an inch to an inch and a half of water a week, and
yep.
Maybe would you argue even a little more in weather like this?
Probably, and then also too, when you have the storms like we did two nights ago, when it comes down that fast, it just runs off. So even though I know Skilling was saying 3/4 of an inch in some places, but that's not the kind of watering you want on your grass, because it's too much too fast, and it just runs off.
312-981-7200. We always start the show with me asking Bob my questions. Now it's your turn to ask him yours, and we have a list of questions here about emerald ash borer, about bark coming off a tree, about what do I do where my dog pees. We answer that question every week, and we're going to
answer it
again this week. Bob, more questions for you. You ready?
Sure.
My maple has these spiky things growing from the leaves. Same green color as the leaves, but little spikes. It's a big old tree. What's that? Should they care? Should they do something?
It's an injury to the leaf from an insect that's feeding, excuse me, on the underside of the leaf. It's just a gall. It's kind of like when you scab over when you cut yourself. If the populations are really high, you might want to think about an insecticide. But typically when you start seeing damage, the first generation has already died off, and then they're mating for a second generation. So you just need to monitor it. It's mostly aesthetic. It's not going to harm the plant.
What can I grow in a city parkway or small yard that is not monoculture grass? I don't even know what that means.
I recommend to everybody that we do work for in the city is to use fake grass. it looks fantastic, and because the dogs are going to ruin it anyway.
Yeah, the city parkway. Sometimes people will put up signs. You'll see this beautiful swath of grass, and you go, look at that. It's lovely. And they say, do not walk on this, and do not put your dog on this. And I go, well, that's what it's for.
Yeah, but you might get shot too. You never know.
Really? So you say lay down some AstroTurf?
It's becoming more and more popular.
That said, if they insist on grass, some sort of sunshade blend, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be a struggle, though. It always is in the city, and especially if you're on the parkways where the wintertime salt, they don't care. The salt's going to burn it out. You're probably going to get contaminated soil. You have to change that out every couple of years.
What about a ground cover? What about a ground cover? Some sort of a low-hung plant that will fill a space?
You could do that. If it's a shady area, hosta would do well because they cut those back in the fall, and they're pretty indestructible. There's Grolo sumac if you wanted something that's a little more salt-tolerant. But nothing is completely salt-tolerant 100%.
This is...
better than others.
Bill, you're on WGN with Bob Bertog. What can we do for you, Bill? Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, you're on the radio. Talk to us.
My question is, has the gentleman ever used a product called Ironite on a lawn? Because I've used it before, and it's really made the lawn green.
I've heard that, too. What do you know about that, Bob?
Any sort of iron you put it on the grass will green it up. You can use straight iron. Most of your fertilizers have iron mixed in with it, but it will green it up, and it's not necessarily doing anything for the... Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I got a bag in my garage that's just strictly Ironite.
It's not going to do anything to feed the plant, but it will definitely green it up.
And, oh, really? There's a difference? So you're telling me that the fact that it's greener doesn't mean it's healthier or better?
Not necessarily it's getting any nutrients down into the roots. A lot of times you'll see, that's why I'm not a fan of liquid fertilizers, because it's just a lot of top growth and you're not really helping out the root system.
It'll be nice
and green for the first year, but after that it's going to start to degrade the root system.
No kidding. All right, so you don't love Ironite as a...
No. I'm talking about liquid fertilizers. Iron is fine for the plants. The only thing about iron, you have to be careful to keep it off the concrete because it will stain when it gets wet.
How about that? Okay. This is Al. You're on WGN with Bob Bertog. Al, can we help you?
Yes, Bob. I have an issue with rabbits. They're destroying my hostas in my backyard, and I just see more and more. There's babies there. I'm just not sure what to do with all these different rabbits there, right there now.
Usually a scent will deter them, and I've heard a lot of people have had a lot of success with coffee grounds.
Coffee grounds, okay. I've heard about red pepper flakes, and that didn't seem to do the trick. So coffee grounds.
Give that
a try. I appreciate your help. Thanks.
Yeah, good luck. Yep. I suppose a barrier, if the rabbits are on the other side of the area and you can create a perimeter, some sort of fence would work. Bob, do you like that?
I would think so, but everybody's seen rabbits jump, too, though. I don't know how big a fence you want to put in.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe you don't want a fence. You want natural green foliage, and the fence kind of ruins it's beside the point. Hey, John Williams, I've got bark coming off my 25-year-old redbud tree. Is that bad for it?
That's not good. It's a sign of either so there's insects underneath the bark, and the thing to do is go examine the tree itself, not the bark, and look for like veins or tunnels from something that was behind the bark.
7-7-3. Okay, but then you need an arborist to come out and either treat it. And would you treat that topically, or do you have to put something down in the roots?
Probably do a soil drench, or depending on how big the thickness of the trunk, you could do an injection, a trunk injection.
It says here, how long to keep the dog off after applying a herbicide or fertilizer?
The herbicide, if it's a liquid herbicide, once it's dry, it's safe to enter the area. We usually tell people 30 to 60 minutes. And the fertilizer, I've never really had an issue with the fertilizer, but if you want to really be on the safe side, wait until after you water it in, and then it's fine.
How do I get the yellow spots off my lawn when the dog pees there? I'll go ahead and answer this one, okay, Bob?
Okay. Take it.
I think you're supposed to I don't know what you're supposed to do. I water it down, dilute it, but you always say keep some mulch with some grass seed and just sprinkle some holes in there and drop the seed in there with the mulch.
Either compost or topsoil, not necessarily mulch.
But yeah, compost.
Yeah, just mix up like a divot mix and then just sprinkle it in there and keep it watered.
Yeah, or get rid of the dog. I mean, really. Phil had a question, I think, right? Phil, you're on WGN. Can we help you, Phil?
Yeah, John. I have a weed that's in my yard. It comes up in the spring. It's a leafy thing with a purple flower. And all the landscapers that I talk to and the people that do my lawn, fertilizer and stuff, say nobody could get rid of that. What do you suggest?
It's either, based on the purple flower, it's either ground ivy or wild violet. Both very difficult to control.
I think it's more of a wild violet. And the funny thing about it is it only grows in the sunny area of my lawn.
Yeah. There are herbicides that are labeled for that, but you got to hit them early, right as the plant is starting to flower in the spring. Putting anything on it now probably won't do much.
Okay. Good luck to you. Sorry, that's all the time we got, Phil. But, Bob, any last piece of advice for people with this warm weather?
Keep plants watered. They're going to want to. And water them deeply. Don't just hit them with the hose like we talked about earlier.
And water them in the morning, not in the evening.
That's for turf. Plants, if you can wander around your garden at nighttime, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
But for the turf is in the early morning.
Okay, Bob Bertog is the president of Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling. He's a certified landscape pro member of the National Association of Landscape Professionals. Let's make another appointment next week, Bob.
Sounds good, John. Have a great week.